This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
8:13 now on this Friday morning, May 30th. Nice morning, 40% chance for showers this afternoon. Then it turns nice for the weekend. A rare cooler front, if you will. Highs are going to be between 85 and 90. And the humidity is supposed to be lower. I'm skeptical of any cool front that comes in on May 30th. I hope it's nice. We'll have to see. I certainly hope there's no additional power outage like we had on Sunday that surprised everybody. And quite frankly, freaked me out because I thought it was I was cutting grass. And then I went inside and realized that the power was out when I went to close the garage door. And then as I drove around after taking a quick shower, I realized that the power outage extended. And I realized I'd seen one too many apocalyptic movies because I thought this was the big one. Thankfully, it wasn't, but who knows what could happen next time. Logan Burke joins us now, Executive Director of the Alliance for Affordable Energy. Good morning, Logan. How are you?
I'm great. Good morning, Tommy. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. How does one become the Executive Director of the Alliance for Affordable Energy? And I'm not trying to pry into your business, but everybody has a story, and I always look at it from the human aspect, and I can't believe that when you were 7 years old, you told your parents, you know what I want to be? I want to be the executive director of the Alliance for Affordable Energy. We all go on a journey that leads us to different places, right?
That is absolutely true. But I'll tell you what led me to wanting to do this work. There are a lot of problems that we've got in our beautiful state, and a lot of them come down to, can people continue to live here? Mm. Can people pay their bills? Can people, stay comfortable and safe in their homes? And a lot of that comes down to energy. So I am looking for solutions, and that's what the Alliance is all about.
What was there something you wanted to be when you were 7? I'm just curious.
I was into art at the time.
Okay.
I wanted to, make things, and now I'm interested in making the world a little bit better.
I thought I was going to have this growth spurt and wind up playing NFL football, but I'm still 5-0 and 100-0, so I don't think that's going to happen. Let's talk about what happened on Sunday, because, I saw a lot of businesses that closed because of the outage and stayed closed after that. Everybody went home. I got to believe this cost a lot of people a lot of money, and it's easy to say, blame game, but I think sometimes responsibility has been morphed into playing the blame game. Somebody is responsible or has to be responsible for what happened on Sunday. Would you agree?
I absolutely agree. And I think who is responsible is going to come down to details and facts that I think a lot of us don't actually even know yet. Mm-hmm. What we do know from looking at the available public information so far is that there was enough power to be had. There was a lot of power available in Northeast Louisiana and in Mississippi, even not too far away from us. It just couldn't get to us.
But I thought I talked to somebody who told me that was because, and help me out, so I hurt myself here using a wrong term, Logan, but something about the transmission lines weren't strong enough to bring the power or heavy enough to bring the power. Am I misquoting that?
You're getting real close to it. Okay. In fact, it was a problem of transmission. If you think about transmission as our highways, we simply didn't have enough highways to bring the power from Mississippi and Northeast Louisiana, where it was available, down to us down here at the end of the line. And this is something that we have been urging both the Louisiana Public Service Commission, the New Orleans City Council, and Entergy to address for years. We know that our transmission system is not set up to make sure that we can get the cheapest power at any given time. And when it gets down to it, sometimes it means we can't even get the power at all. And this is just the second example of something like this happening in a month. As a matter of fact, something similar to this happened up in northwest Louisiana in SWEPCO territory just a month ago in April.
In what territory?
In SWEPCO. That's the utility that serves the Shreveport-Bossier area.
I thought it was a city I'd never heard of. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. SWEPCO is one of the three large investor-owned utilities in our state, along with Entergy and CLECO. But SWEPCO is in a different regional transmission organization. It's in the Southwest Power Pool. But the fact of the matter is, in both SWEPCO territory, Entergy territory, and CLECO territory, without having the appropriate amount of transmission lines to move power around, it means that, unfortunately, we can't get it when we need it sometimes.
So I write a check to Entergy, Louisiana, every month,
yep.
right? Other people write
yep.
checks to CLECO, to Entergy New Orleans, to SWEPCO. Is that what you said? SWEPCO,
that's right.
Other utility mm-hmm. companies. So let me take a break. We come back, and I try to think in a linear manner, Logan, and this is just driving me crazy because I don't know who does what or who's responsible for what. It reminds me a little bit of the New Orleans Sewerage and Water Board structural issues where everybody has a say, but nobody's responsible when things go bad, and that's what it seems like to me because, for example, when it comes to transmission lines, whose responsibility is it to build those? And I understand that utility companies operate on a fixed rate of return or a guaranteed profit. So if that's the case, in exchange for being a monopoly, who pays for these transmission lines? And where does that count into their guaranteed rate of return or profit? And does that mean that the ratepayers ultimately have to pay for the transmission lines or not? I don't know. Maybe you can sort it out for us. Logan Burke, Executive Director of the Alliance for Affordable Energy. If y'all have any questions or comments, the Oakenheart Jeweler Talk text line's open, 504-260-1870. I'll pass them along. When we come back. Please don't ever text and drive. 820 Traffic Now, WWL. 825, Tommy Tucker, WWL. I know our memories are short, but it was Sunday afternoon when the power went out, and Logan Burke is our guest executive director of the Alliance for Affordable Energy. Logan, as I began, to drive around, and maybe I have seen one too many apocalyptic movies, but I thought, you know what? Maybe this is the big one. How concerned are you about, because I can see it both ways. I can see redundancy where you got to be able to have a grid and transfer power mm-hmm. from one to the other, which brings us to transmission lines, which we'll get back to in mm-hmm. a second. But I can also understand the adage of putting all your eggs in one basket. And if you shut one thing down, then the whole thing is shut down. How do you find a balance there? And how concerned are you that eventually something's going to be hacked and the whole thing goes down?
Oh, goodness, that is a scary proposition.
It is. That's what, and I was freaking out on Sunday. That's why I'm asking you.
Yeah, that's a good question. And fortunately, that's why we have regulators like the Louisiana Public Service Commission and the New Orleans City Council. But I also wanted to answer your question from before we went on a break who is responsible.
Absolutely.
Do you mind if I touch on that?
No, I wish you would before we run out of time.
All right. Okay, super. So the question about who is responsible, when it comes to who is responsible to operate the system and make sure that it is reliable, that it stays up and running, that basically the system doesn't cause a breakdown, taking out a lot more customers, the operator is MISO. But who builds and owns the system? That is Entergy. Who pays for the system? That's all of us. That's all the ratepayers, anybody who pays the utility bill. But who approves the investments, whether it's in transmission or generation or other programs to reduce energy demand? Those are the regulators. Mm-hmm. In the end, the folks who are really important piece of this puzzle are the Louisiana Public Service Commission and the New Orleans City Council. And I want to just remind everybody who's listening that those are elected seats. As a matter of fact, the City Council, as you probably know, those are up for election mm-hmm. this fall. And two of the five public service commissioners are up for election, or commission seats are up next fall. And so it's really important for us to understand the role that these regulators have in making sure that the investments that are made are there for us and that there are standards and rules related to things like reliability and resilience.
All right, so let me go back a second. We talked about transmission lines, not enough power from Northeast Louisiana and Mississippi, but then we talked about CLECO and Entergy New Orleans and all the different power companies throughout the state. So
yep.
Who those transmission lines that didn't that were not there to provide enough highways, if you will, for the power to come in, that would be up to whom to build? Entergy or Louisiana Entergy? New Orleans?
Yes, that would be up to Entergy Louisiana and potentially CLECO, depending on where those lines are or could be. This is why it's so important that one of the roles that MISO also plays is in supporting coordinated transmission planning. This is something that we've been urging our regulators down here to work with MISO on, to do better cooperative planning so that we have the highways, whether they go through Entergy territory in Louisiana or into New Orleans or it's CLECO. But in the end, it's those utilities that own and build those investments, but it comes down to the regulators to allow those investments to happen, to direct them to happen.
All right, here's a concern that I had that I think a lot of people did when it happened. It's Memorial Day weekend, beginning of...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Summer. You know, I know Devontae Lewis talked about the forecast, but I lived here all my life. I can tell you it's going to be hot and humid on Memorial Day weekend. We're just going into summer here. You don't build transmission lines overnight. How concerned are you that this is the new normal? And are you concerned this is going to happen throughout the summer?
I'll tell you why I'm not terribly concerned about this summer. Mm-hmm. Although that's not to say that I'm not worried that we aren't building the system that we need. The reason I'm less concerned about this summer is in the summertime and in the wintertime, all of the generation that we have available to us is up and running, or it is available in relatively short order. This part of the season, which is what we call the shoulder season, right, the spring and the fall, when people aren't using as much energy, that's when they take some of those power plants down for maintenance, when they take some of those transmission lines down for maintenance. What we don't know is what all was down. We don't know what was forced out. We do know that some power plants and some things were forced off the system because basically to protect them in the end. But the thing that makes me feel more confident about the summertime is that more of and all of our available generation in the region will be ready and ready to go if it isn't already generating. So that puts us in a better position. However, I do worry that we aren't planning for these kinds of situations in a timely manner. And to your point, neither generation nor transmission can be built overnight. And that means that we need to be thinking about, in the shorter term, how do we make sure we've got, whether it's load reduction where customers are, or even things that we can deploy more quickly like batteries to manage that demand where people are.
And Logan, we're out of time. I hope you come back because this is very complicated stuff and important stuff. We'll take a break, come back, talk LSU baseball and more right now. Time for WWL First News. Making our way through Friday morning, 8:40, 20 till 9. I would always get the perfect attendance thing out of the way early in the school year with one phantom stomach pain or the other. And my mother, God rest her soul, said, "You're going to have one just like you." And I did. And my kid would get the perfect attendance thing out of the way in the first week. Not so for a young man who won, or young lady, I think, who won a new car. Anyway, let's bring on Troy Duhon, my boy Troy Duhon, who owns the premier family of dealerships. Talk about this person that won a Toyota for perfect attendance. Go ahead, Troy.
You know, Tommy, this was our 19th year, and if you'd have told me that we've been giving away 19 new cars to the high school senior in Orleans Parish, we did Jefferson Parish for the first time a month ago. Mm-hmm. So you got several thousand kids, and we had 60 finalists. And it was a young man, who Jonathan Vessel, who actually won the car, which was really interesting. Because, and I asked him point blank, how in the world do you not miss a day of school your senior year? Then the school board, the superintendent, she pulls me to the side and says, this is the one you need to meet. So they brought up a young lady, Tommy. She set a Guinness Book World Record. She hasn't missed a day of school in 14 years. Pre-K, K, 1 through 12th grade, this girl never missed a day of school. So I brought her mother up. I'm like, are you kidding me? That's impossible. You never missed a day of school in 14 years. So, you had all the TV cameras there. I bring the mother up, Tommy, and listen to what the mother says. She looks at the young girl, and this is a great lesson for all parents. Looks at the young girl and says, now tell them what your mother tells you. And the girl looks at me with all these cameras on her and says, my mother always told me, why be good when you can be great?
Wow.
And be great at being yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, Tommy, that's unbelievable. So yesterday was the first time in the history of this program, probably a Guinness Book World Record, that his high school kid, 14 years of school, never missed a day of school.
Congratulations to them and you for the good work you do. Tell me about Giving Hope NOLA real quick if somebody wants to help out or donate.
You know, listen, one of the good things we try to inspire people who listen to us right now, volunteers. So we get a lot of kids who need community service hours who need to come in. And look, the greatest joy you're going to have as a parent is bringing your child and come and serve, to see people who struggle, to teach our children that there are people out there that are good people that have a hard time making ends meet. And the joy that your children are going to have, the attitude adjustment that Miss Betty's going to give them, will be one of the greatest days in your parenting life, I promise you, Tommy. So go to Giving Hope NOLA. Please sign up to volunteer. Come enjoy a day of volunteering and watch how it changes you and your children.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day. Troy Duhon, givinghopenola.org. I must say, I have some friends and their kids, Ethan and Alex Rupp, went through 13 years, graduated from Brother Martin, their twins, without missing a day in school. And that's because of the iron fist of their mom, who said, and I quote, we don't miss school. Even if they have a fever, we don't miss school. Okay. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Jeff Palermo at LSU Baseball here on WWL. 848, Tommy Tucker, WWL, LSU Baseball gets going today. WWL, your home. Tigers hosting the NCAA Baton Rouge Regional this week at the Box. Dallas Baptist, Rhode Island, and LSU's first challenger, Little Rock. You can catch Tigers Trojans today, 2 o'clock, pregame 1:30. It's presented by our Tiger baseball loving sponsors, Jerry Lane Cadillac, Louisiana Dental Center, Hooters, and Cummins. Catch all the action here on WWL and live on the free Odyssey app. Jeff Palermo joins us now, our friend, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director, to give us the preview. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing well, Tommy. How about yourself?
I'm all right. I see you got a story up at WWL.com. Tell me about it.
Well, obviously, as you just mentioned, today begins the postseason run. You got a little bit of an appetizer last week with the SEC tournament, but nobody really remembers the SEC tournament unless you're Vanderbilt right now, who won the SEC tournament. Everybody else, including the Commodores, too, are now focused in on trying to get to Omaha in the College World Series. And obviously, the fans are going to be hyped up for this game. Chris Blair is going to sound a little sharper on the broadcast mm-hmm. today because it's postseason baseball. But the team, because of the way Jay Johnson prepares them throughout the course of the regular season, and referring to the regular season as a 56-game playoff, this year they only played 55 because of a cancellation due to the weather. What that does is, once they really do get into postseason play, nothing changes for the players. Their mindset stays the same. Their process stays the same. Their preparation stays the same. Everything stays the same in the hopes that they can control have better control the situations that are going to come in front of them here during the postseason, even though fans are certainly going to be a lot more into it and strikeouts. You know, when LSU pitchers strike out hitters, you'll hear the roar from the fans, a three-run homer. The fans are going to go crazy. Players are going to try to stay within the moment and not let the emotions and the wild swings of a baseball game get to them. Just stay even keeled and be prepared and just continue to focus in on the next pitch, if you would.
Tell me about Little Rock.
Well, Little Rock, a week ago, no one ever thought that they would make it into the NCAA tournament. They had just 19 wins on the season. They actually went into the year picked to finish second in the Ohio Valley Conference after winning their regular season in the Ohio Valley Conference in 2024. But they had a whole bunch of injuries, and it just took them a while to finally get back to where they needed to be. And they made a remarkable run through the Ohio Valley Conference tournament, winning 5 games in 4 days. And a lot of it was because they really pitched very well during that time. And they got a lot of their healthy position players back and finally in the rhythm of the game. And they went on a remarkable run. And that has put them here in Baton Rouge. And it's, you know, LSU is hosting a regional for the second time in 2 years. And in both cases, they're facing a team that, in their first game in the regional, that had a losing record in the regular season. Last time it was Tulane. This time it was Little Rock. So this is a team that I'll say this about them. I don't. They're going to come in and into this game with obviously nothing to lose. They went into the Ohio Valley Conference tournament with the same mindset. They got a veteran team. They got some experience there. And I don't know, at least initially, I don't think they're going to be fazed by what they're going to see today at Alec Box Stadium. But eventually, I think LSU's talent will win out, and the Tigers will advance to the winner's bracket of the Baton Rouge Regional.
Yeah, let's talk about Dallas Baptist and Rhode Island.
Well, Dallas Baptist is a very interesting team in that, a lot of people have talked about how LSU seemingly has a very good path to get to Omaha because of, as we just mentioned, you're facing a Little Rock team that went 24-32. Rhode Island, who's the 3-seed, does not have a very high RPI, but Dallas Baptist is a strong number 2 seed. This is a team that's been in it before, and as far as the regionals, they've been in the last 12 out of the last 13. They won the Conference USA regular season. I think it's very impressive when you see a team that can steal bases and hit home runs. They've hit 97 on the season, 104 stolen bases. They have a senior center fielder who's been outstanding this year, hitting .360 with 17 home runs. Their catcher, Grant Jay, will be an early draft pick in the Major League Baseball draft. He's got 19 home runs on the season. And the pitching has come around in the second half of the year. Ryan Borberg has got 8 wins on the year. James Ellwanger has struck out 90 in 59 innings. Micah Bucknum, who's a former LSU pitcher, has had a solid season. And their bullpen has also improved. So even though a lot of people point to LSU's 7-3 win over Dallas Baptist back in late February, this is a good Dallas Baptist team, and it's going to be a challenge for the Tigers to beat them. The thing that sticks out about Rhode Island is what they do offensively. They've scored 527 runs this year. That's 6th most in the country, and they get on base a ton. They got a team on base percentage at .430, which is the 7th best in the country. In fact, their number 9 hitter, Brody McKenzie, he's got an on base percentage of .509, and they got a really talented hitter, a kid that's going to be drafted, and Anthony DiPino, .359 hitter, 19 home runs. They've hit, as a team, 85 home runs. But what you look at is their team ERA on the mound. It's 6.20, and that's not very good. They got one decent starter, and they got a good closer. But I don't know if they got enough pitching really to compete and last and potentially win this Baton Rouge Regional.
You said 427 runs?
527 runs, and that's a team that's, you know, from the Northeast in Rhode Island. So that's a heck of a lot of runs.
The LSU offense for football last year only scored 402.
Yeah.
All right, so bottom line, you think LSU wins and then hosts the Super Regional next week?
I would think so. I've kind of felt this all season long, watching this team win 43 games all year, that if they didn't get to Omaha, it would be a major disappointment. This team is it perfect? No, but I don't think there's a team in this NCAA baseball tournament that is perfect. I really just like where LSU stands pitching-wise, and the fact that you have two dominant starting pitchers in Anthony Ianson and Cade Anderson, and one of them will likely start today.
Do we know which one?
Unless JJ, we don't know which one. You know, if Jay keeps the routine, it would be Cade Anderson. But I also think the weather does play a factor. Mm-hmm. I mean, out of the 3 or 4 days, if the regional gets extended to Monday, today seems to have the highest chance for rain.
30%
chance. So if there's a chance that this game could get interrupted in the fourth or fifth inning, Jay Johnson might not want to use Cade Anderson or Anthony Ianson today. He's got up to 90 minutes before game time before he finally announces who will be the starting nine and the pitcher. So we'll have to wait on that. But to get back to your question, Tommy, this team's got a lot of pitching, and they got frontline pitching. They got guys they can bring out of the bullpen that have really performed well, including Zach Cowan. And I think that's what carries this team to the College World Series. And then I think when it gets to Omaha, it's all about timely hitting, fielding, and, you know, clutch pitching. And
thank
if
you,
they
Jeff.
Get all three of those, they win a national championship.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you again soon. Taking a quick break for traffic and news and everything else, WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.